down, so we want to keep those people in our prayers who are traveling. Also ask you to keep Austin Balbin in your prayers. He starts his first shift as a police officer tonight. He graduated from the academy on Monday, and he starts his night shift tonight. He told me some guys started 6 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. They didn't get any break, so always thankful for our guys who protect us. And we've got several law enforcement folks here, David and Matt Sievers and some other folks, so I certainly appreciate what they do to keep us safe, and want to remember them in our prayers too, and also those on our prayer list as well. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll get into our Bible class. Our almighty and gracious Father who art in heaven, we are thankful unto thee for the blessings of this day, and certainly for the blessing that you call us your children and that you love us. And we're thankful for this day that we can be here tonight, that we're grateful for your word, and thankful for this hour that we can come together in like precious faith and open up your word and study it. Father, to help us better understand those things. Sometimes we struggle with in life. Sometimes we have questions about the difficult things, and thankful that we have your word to guide us, to lead us, and direct our paths as you tell us. And we're grateful for all the precepts and promises you give us, and certainly the blessing of Jesus that you told us and that you gave to him at Calvary. Father, we're always grateful for the opportunity to lift up in prayer those of the household of faith who are unable to be here tonight because of health reasons, and we certainly pray for them and that you'll continue to bless them to be with Danny Estep as he's in the hospital, and we certainly pray for a good outcome with him, and thankful that he has shown some improvement, and we continue to pray for him as well as Sister Polly also. Thankful that Brother Bill is able to be back with us tonight and that you'll continue to bless him, and thankful certainly for his love for you that shows his devotion of always wanting to be here no matter what, and we're grateful for the example that he gives to all of us, and that you'll continue to bless him and Nancy and his family as well as they help him to improve, and certainly the doctors that are ministering to him. Father, we're so grateful for the country in which we live, and certainly we're thankful for those who protect us on our streets here, our men in blue and our police officers and first responders and EMS and all those who provide us the many services that we take for granted. We certainly pray for Austin tonight as he begins his shift as a police officer. We pray for his safety and the safety of all those officers on the street, that you'll be with them and to watch over them, Father. And we're so grateful for what they do for us, and also for those who are serving overseas in the military, providing us with that blanket of freedom we often take for granted. Father, we're so grateful for the blessings we have here at Cary, for our congregation here, for all that you give to us. Continue to watch over us. We close out this year, Father, if it be your will, as we enter into the next year of 2018, that you'll bless us with many things as we try and shine our lights for you. Father, we love you most of all. We're thankful for Jesus, and it's in his name that we do pray. Amen. All right. Here's our question. So, yes or no? Any comments? Anybody have any? What do you think on it? Sometimes? Anybody else? Yes, sir. Okay. Individually, yes. Collectively, no. Anybody else? Michelle? Follow your conscience? Okay. Jack, did you have your hand up? Okay, I thought you had your hand up. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Right. That's about all they said, right? Not to go into specifics. Many times they don't want to go into politics. They certainly don't want to get into religion. Most businesses are not going to get into religion. If you did not grab a list, I put a list out there, and these are just a few. There was over 300 on that list that I put out of companies that support same-sex marriage and those that petitioned the Supreme Court for the ruling for same-sex marriage to be legal. So you can kind of glance through that, but I got a small list just to kind of give you an idea. But, you know, as we talk about this tonight, I'm going to approach it from two different standpoints. I'm going to approach it from the yes standpoint, I'm going to approach it from the no standpoint, and I'm going to approach it also, I guess the third is going to be from it depends on you. Because it really comes down as we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tonight, we're going to look at Romans chapter 14. We always want to apply the biblical aspect of it, But believe it or not, when you think about the idea of boycotting or in relation to pulling away from things because of what they represent, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as he's writing to the church in Corinth and some of the things that they're dealing with within the congregation, especially when it comes to offering meat to idols. But here's a list of some of those out there that support same-sex marriage. Now, understand this too. There are a lot of these that are more vocal than others. Okay? Case in point, Starbucks is one of them. I'll tell you this, flat out, I love Starbucks. I would go to Starbucks every day if I could afford it. But I can't. But at the same time, I also know what they support. I'm a DirecTV subscriber, but I know what they support. I have Nike tennis shoes. As a matter of fact, my health insurance is Cigna. It's who I pay for. Well, I guess you can call it health insurance, but anyway, Barnes & Noble. I like to frequent Barnes & Noble. Maybe you bank at Bank of America. I use Apple products. I have an Apple product in my office. We've got two Apple computers back there. So when you think about it in relation to a lot of the companies out there, generally, I'll tell you this. Most that say they support it in the research that I've done and the reading that I've done, quote-unquote, say they support it, but more likely or more often than not, the reason they say they support it is because they don't want to go against the grain. They don't want to be the odd man out. So they'll say they stand for it, but it's going to be a quiet stand. That is, so if the LGBTQ community comes in and says, we want to know if you stand with us, they're going to say yes, but you're not going to see them blasting it all over their newsletters. You're not going to see it on their website. But they'll quote-unquote say that they support these things. So, at one point or another, I'm sure all of us have boycotted some type of business. Okay? Several years ago, Target went through this whole thing about pushing the transgender bathrooms. And a lot of people were bothered by that when that came out several years ago. And I remember at the time when I still had Facebook, a lot of people were posting their comments and telling people to boycott this business and don't go in there if you're a Christian, and heaven help you if you are a Christian and you shop at Target. All of these different political opinions and religious opinions and all of these different things, and we're going to kind of talk about that too. So when you think about it in relation to the world in which we live today, the one thing I want you to understand, especially as we go through 1 Corinthians 10 here, is we're in the world, but we're not of the world. That's extremely important for us to understand, because God understood when He put us in this world that we were going to be living with those who did not agree with what He says and what Jesus died for. Common sense. You look at Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. How wide is that path that many choose because it's the easy way to follow? Narrow is the gate, right, that leads to eternal life, and it's difficult because it's not always an easy path. So when you think about this whole idea of boycotting, all of us probably at one point said, you know what, I'm not going in that business because I disagree with their attitude, I disagree with their commercial. Several years ago, I stopped eating at Hardee's because I didn't understand why you had to put a woman half naked crawling all over a car to sell a hamburger. But that was the whole idea, because that's what they thought sold. So I couldn't tell you the last time I ate at Hardee's. So in a way, I guess you can say that's my silent boycott. I'm not telling you not to eat there. I'm not telling you to boycott any of these businesses if you shop at them. I'm not telling you you cannot boycott these businesses if you choose to. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 with me, beginning in verse 23. Kind of look at what Paul's talking about here. And again, I'm not saying you've got to avoid any of these businesses, but if you patronize them, you know, I promise not to give you a condescending glance. And we're going to talk about scruples here in just a second too. But all I'm saying is that personally, if you don't want to give your money to a business, that's your prerogative, that's your right. And if that's as far as in relation to what your conscience is saying, that's what you need to follow. If you have a choice to do what you want to do, and certainly we have liberty, and Paul talks about that here in just a second, you get to make that choice for yourself to a certain extent. All right, look at verse 23 with me, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Paul states that all things are lawful, that is, i.e., they are under his decision and his freedom to make the choice, okay? That's very important to understand as we get into this study tonight, all right? He has the choice over the control of his decision-making on what he chooses to do. Yet, for expedience's sake, some things also have to be avoided. All right, look at verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. What's the importance of that? The strong brother, weak brother, right? Go to Romans 14, and we talked about that several weeks ago in our sermon. Look at Romans chapter 14, and Paul is writing to the church there in Rome. We don't know who the weak brother is or the strong brother, whether it's the Jew, whether it's the Gentile. But what Paul is saying in relation to that, if by what you're going to do, even though it's not religiously against God's word, it's more of an expedient thing, if it's going to cause the weaker brother to stumble, then you need to pull back from that. What do we generally say because we're selfish? Yeah, well, what about me? If it's going to cause your brother in Christ to sin, what about you? Because the goal is to help them get to heaven, right? Not to cause somebody to sin because you choose to do something that makes you feel good or because you want to shop at a particular place, all right? Look at verse 25. Eat whatever is solid in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. Now, let me explain the meat market to you concerning the church at Corinth. When, and again, you had a lot of Gentiles that incorporated the body at the church in Corinth, and you had some Jews, but when you think about in relation to when they would go into a meat market, you had a lot of pagan people that were worshiping within the city of Corinth itself, okay? And because of this, these meats or animals that were being offered on the sacrificial altar by these pagan priests, once they were offered, they were then cut up and butchered, and then they were sold in the market. Okay, so here's what Paul's saying. If you go into the market to buy meat for your conscience sake, you don't need to know where the meat came from. Here's the reason why. If God says everything is good and God says everything is clean and God is the one who made the animal, just because somebody sinned by altar, offering it on the altar, doesn't necessarily mean that that animal is now sinful because you're going to partake of it. So Paul says in relation to verse 25 here, he says, eat whatever is solid in the meat, and when you go into the market, asking no questions for your conscience sake. What Paul is saying here, if you ask a question in relation to that being offered to idols, and they're going to say, yeah, it was offered to such and such pagan god, now it's going to bother your conscience. So, if that's the question you choose to incorporate, if you want to do the investigation, that's fine. Paul said you don't have to do that, though. And even though you might, in relation to understanding that that was offered, if it was or if it wasn't, this is kind of the cat-in-the-box type thing, whether it's alive or whether it's not alive. When you think about that in relation to what Paul says concerning your conscience, don't ask if you think it's going to violate your conscience, especially if you're going to purchase this meat here. Look at verse 26. For the earth and the Lord is the Lord's in all its fullness. Verse 27, if any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you. So Paul says, if you go to somebody's house that is not a member of the body, they set something before you and you desire to eat with them, don't ask them where it came from. Why not? Look at the last part of the verse. Eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience' sake. Notice this word keeps coming up, conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, that is, they put the information out there, this was offered to idols, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Verse 29, conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other, for why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? That's an extremely important concept for us to understand. And let me tell you why. If it's your prerogative to boycott a business, if it violates your conscience as a Christian, then absolutely 100% you should not go to that store. You should not buy that product. You should not eat at that restaurant. If it violates your conscience, that's going to cause you to stumble. If it's going to cause you less sleep at night, if you think you sinned against God, I'm telling you, for your soul's sake, do not go to that store or eat at that restaurant. But, verse 29 again, conscience, I say, not your own, but for the other, for why is my liberty judged by your conscience? Case in point, several years ago, I'm going back to when I had Facebook, one of my brethren, preaching brethren, was boycotting, I don't even remember the particular business, and he blasted all over Facebook that you better not go shop at this business, because if you do, you're a sinner. By him saying that, he sinned against me. Because he's pushing his conscience and his own personal choice on me when I don't have a problem shopping there. I think it might have actually been Starbucks, to tell you the truth. But by him judging me based upon my conscience that I don't have an issue with it, and it's not causing me to sin, it's not causing me to stumble. By him pushing his conscience and his judgment upon me based upon where I choose to shop, not only could he make me stumble, but also he's sinning by pushing his opinion on me. That's why Paul said, why should I be judged by your conscience? What is a conscience anyway? What does your conscience tell you? Just a second. What does your conscience tell you? Right. And conscience is something that we're not born with. It's something that we learn. It's by the traits that we're taught, by the traditions that we're taught as we grow up. It's certainly incorporated when we're learning the Bible and we're growing up in the Lord's church, when we're baptized. All of those things have to be learned. Because Paul talks about a conscience being seared, right? That you can get to the point that your heart becomes hard and your conscience becomes seared, where right and wrong no longer matter to you. But we have this tendency many times to push our conscience and our judgment upon somebody else in relation to something that's not religious, something that's not doctrinal, because they disagree with us. And we're really good, I'm not telling you to raise your hand, we're really good about blasting our opinions all over social media, aren't we? Yeah, we are. Because we want the world to know what we think about a particular thing. And it's everybody can have their opinion, but understand when you do that, we're really quick to tell everybody what they're doing wrong instead of telling them what they need to be right. And I think if we did that more as Christians on helping people see heaven instead of shaking this proverbial you're bad finger at them, boycott all of these things. And again, I'm not saying boycotting is bad. But I'm saying we have to be really careful not to push our conscience and our opinions and our judgments on somebody because perhaps they go to the store that we don't go to. Okay? I don't eat at Hardee's. I don't expect you not to eat at Hardee's. Because if you choose to eat at Hardee's and I see you walking in Hardee's, you're not going to get a second glance or me say anything to you if you choose to walk in here on a Sunday night with a bag of Hardee's downstairs. I'm not going to say a word to you because that's your choice. And I can't push my opinion and go, well, you know what Hardee's does, don't you? I mean, I can't even believe you're eating that greasy thing. I mean, you know how bad and sinful they are. Paul, go ahead. Well, you know, this goes back to in relation to what Paul's talking about here, that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Now, repeat. Paul said, the question was, what if it's somebody of a denomination or a different faith, and they do something, or you do something in front of them, or they're doing something in front of you, or pushing that idea on them? Here's one thing, and we've talked about this from the beginning of this class concerning edification and being examples as Christ and shining our lights. If it does not edify, if it's going to cause somebody to stumble and it's going to cause you to put a ding in your influence as a child of God to convince them on what the truth is, sometimes even though we might not think anything is wrong with it, case in point, I had a real good friend of mine. He will not go to a restaurant if they serve alcohol. Violates his conscience to every core, bothers him. I don't have an issue with that. One, because I'm not drinking alcohol. Two, I'm not sitting in that portion of the restaurant. But it bothers him to no end to go into a restaurant that serves alcohol. So guess what? When we go out to eat, we don't go to a restaurant that serves alcohol. I can say, get over it, it's not a big deal. You're not drinking, so what's the problem anyway? But what's that going to do to him concerning his conscience? It's going to cause him to sin. He might do it because he doesn't want to hurt my feelings, but I'm causing him to sin because that's violating his conscience and it's going to bother him to the utmost of his core as a Christian because he doesn't want to violate that because he thinks he's sinning against God. And he has every right to do that. So in relation, we have to understand what's going to edify to an extent that we don't get ridiculous. It's common sense in a lot of that. But that we understand what type of image are we trying to portray in relation to bringing somebody to the body of Christ. And I think it goes back to judgment. And again, the hardest thing for us in relation to scruples and opinions and conscience is keeping it to ourselves. That's what it boils down to. It's really hard for it to keep our opinions to ourselves. Paul, go ahead. if you're sitting down and studying with a Muslim, Paul says, you know, would it be wrong to sit down and have a cheeseburger with a Muslim? A bacon cheeseburger. Bacon cheeseburger. This would be my question. One, where's the conversation going? Am I going to be able to have a conversation about the Bible with him? I'm probably not going to eat a bacon cheeseburger. If it's going to cause to shatter my influence with the person and what I'm trying to do, or to spark a conversation, whatever the case is. But again, at the same time, their God's not our God. Even though they claim it to be, their God is not our God. So again, it goes back to the idea of the influence that you're trying to portray in relation to what you're trying to show and teach the person to that. So there's no perfect science to this. That's what you got to understand. You know, Paul gives us in reference in relation to these, you know, this idea of these things that bother our conscience, these things that violate our conscience, or things that don't violate our conscience. Look at the next verse, in verse 30. But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I gave thanks? Paul said, so if somebody offers me food, and they don't tell me that it's offered to idols, and later one of my brothers finds out that it was offered to idols, and I gave thanks for this to God and bowed my head in prayer and said, thank you for this food, why then are you going to judge me because I gave thanks for this? So Paul's saying the food is not the issue. It's the matter behind the food that's the issue and whether or not it bothers you. Look at verse 30. But if I partake with thanks, am I evil spoken of for the food over which I gave thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, notice that, do all for the glory or to the glory of God. So everything I do has to be for the glory of God. If it's not going to bring glory to God, then I probably should not do it. Even if it's not religiously wrong or doctrinally wrong, if I think it's going to bring ill repute on the church and put a chink in the armor of the salvation of Christ, then I probably don't need to be doing that. Even if we say there's nothing wrong with it, spiritually or scripturally speaking. Look at 32. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, Paul says, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So, again, I'm not telling you to boycott these businesses. I'm just here to maintain a clear conscience and not send somebody the wrong message about what I support. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do here. Again, in looking at that sheet and all of these businesses here, whether you support these or not, is completely up to you whether you want to go in and give them your money. Now, let me tell you how I look at this, okay? I get asked this question all the time. Should I go to this business? I heard they're doing X, Y, Z now in relation, and that's really sinful, so should I go there? Should I not go there? You know, am I giving my money to the devil? You know, I mean, plethora of questions you can ask. This is the way I look at it. I like Starbucks, okay? Because I love coffee. I absolutely love coffee. There's a company in Philadelphia that I like to buy my coffee from. He supports his company, La Colombe, supports the LGBT community. But I really love their coffee. So what am I purchasing? Am I purchasing his idea or his opinions? Once I purchase his product, I want his coffee. When I go to Starbucks, I want my caramel macchiato. I'm purchasing the coffee. I'm not purchasing your political ideas. I'm not purchasing your religious agenda. I'm not purchasing what you believe in life. I'm not purchasing your stance in life. I'm simply purchasing your product. Guess what? What you do with the money after that is between you and the Lord. And if it goes towards something sinful, you're the one that answers for it on the day of judgment, not me. Because I'm simply purchasing a product. That's it. There's nothing behind that product whatsoever. Michelle, go ahead. Okay. in relation to what he's talking about as far as somebody offers you meat for conscience sake, if somebody's telling you it's a sin, here's the thing. If somebody says, well, you know what, I don't go to Target because I think Target is sinful, duly noted. One, I'm not going to go to Target with you. But two, probably later on my way home, I'm still going to go to Target because I don't have an issue with what they're selling or whatever the case is. I have an issue with what they believe, certainly, but I'm simply purchasing a product. Paul says in relation to what they're offering concerning the meats that they're giving you, he says for conscience sake, yeah, if you know it's a sin because of the person you're trying to influence, this all goes back to influence, especially on the unbeliever. That's our biggest influence in life is who we're trying to influence, is to bring unbelievers to Christ. So Paul says in relation to conscience sake, if somebody tells you in relation that it's a sin as far as this meat being offered to an idol because of the person that's in the room with you, I'm not going to give them pushback or give them an argument. Because here's the problem we face many times when we think in relation to our particular opinion mattering is that we want to argue it, don't we? My ultimate goal in relation to my opinion is how is this going to affect the person that I'm trying to bring to Christ? That's my number one priority, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Guess what? There's times I've had arguments or discussions with people and I disagreed with them completely. But I gave no pushback other than saying, I'm sorry that you feel that way. And I can teach you what the gospel says. But me arguing a moot point isn't going to get me anywhere in relation to teaching them about Jesus. Go ahead. You can say something else. Sure. Right. Right. The person, you're not obligated in relation to pursuing the matter because meat is meat. Again, it goes back to the product is not sinful. Right. Yeah. But again, and that goes back to what Paul says in verse 29, that, you know, liberty must yield to the conscience of the weaker brother. And that's what Paul's talking about here is the weaker brother. Liberty comes in relation to the weaker brother because I don't want to cause them to stumble. You were next, and then I'll get Jim and then Ozzy. Mm-hmm. Sure. I agree wholeheartedly. And here's where I think we fail as a body in the church because we're inconsistent. We're inconsistent. I've been inconsistent. I'll be the first to tell you I've fallen short concerning consistency. We're real quick to jump on the bandwagon when everybody else is on the bandwagon concerning a particular business or a product that we think is might be involved in sin, okay? But when we turn around and think about it, when you look at all of these and probably some of these, maybe you work there or maybe these products are in your home, how consistent are we in relation to who we are as Christians? Here's what we have to understand. We're in the world. We're not of the world. Sure, like Apple. I think sometimes we try to punish immorality and discipline immorality in the world. I'm not telling us that we can't boycott, and I'm also telling us, somebody mentioned it last week, we have this whole idea when it comes to trying to influence the world that either we're on the shotgun approach and we're going to blast you with our opinions, or we don't say anything. That's either it's one extreme or the other, you know, and certainly we're not supposed to be silent. I'm not saying that we can't speak up and give our opinion over something or that we can't vote against him, you know, or vote against immorality or somebody who's for immorality or abortion, whatever the case is. I'm not saying we don't have an opinion or a voice as Christians. What I'm saying is the way the world views us, if we're going to be inconsistent, let's say, like Michelle's talking about, this unbeliever offers us something and says, hey, oh, by the way, that was offered to idols. Okay. So now I've got to go back in my house and look at everything now I've purchased from these companies that support LGBT or they blast their opinions or whatever the case is, and now I've got to go through and say, can I now, with common sense, live in the world because just about everything out there now seems to be swaying towards the homosexual agenda because they don't want to upset the left? Can we do that? Sure. And like I said, a lot of times these companies are peer pressure. Sure. Jim, I think you were next. You were going to say something. Sure. Sure. Yeah. And I wouldn't. And I wouldn't. Yeah. It's simply not a biblical position to say that Christians can have no association with worldly businesses because then you could not go in the world. I mean, plain and simple. I mean, we would have to stay in our homes and be hermits and raise goats and have corn growing in the backyard. You know, because when you think about it again, we have to be influences in the world. You know, when Jesus sat down to eat with sinners, trying to be an influence to those, you know, we want to be crusaders for good, and certainly that's a good thing, but we've got to remember that Jesus didn't send his apostles in the world to boycott businesses. He sent them to teach them about who he was. And that's really, you know, the heart of the matter. My wife will be the first one to tell you, I've been in businesses that I know did not support, you know, the church and that supported certain agendas, and I've been the first to interject my opinion when I heard them saying something contrary to what the Bible says. Drives her crazy. But I have no problem as far as saying, well, you know, I might disagree with you for that if it's going to spark a conversation. Because, again, my responsibility is to go into all the world and teach people about who Jesus is. Ozzy, I think you were next, sir. Okay.
A denomination, you know. So according to God, that's a sin. So we have to be very careful about when we start to try to draw lines that God has not drawn.
No. We're not going to save the world by withholding our money. It's not about money. You know, it's about souls. I think Kurt was next, and then you, Floyd. Proverbs 16, 18, yeah. I think we have this tendency, I think, is we expect the world to act like Christians. When they become Christians, then we can expect them to act like Christians. But we can't expect the world to act like Christians and to be upset because they're not morally or religiously or spiritually or emotionally acting like a child of God, because they're not. And in a lot of cases, it has to do with being taught. So again, Floyd, I'm going to let you get your point in. Just say something real quick. The whole point I wanted to make with this was it goes back to conscience. And that's what Paul is stressing here in 1 Corinthians 10. If it violates your conscience, I'm telling you and pleading with you, do not do it. Because if it's going to cause you, because you violate your conscience, which you think by doing that is a sin against God, then you're sinning against God. So if you choose not to go to whatever business, that's your prerogative, that's your right. But here's the thing also to understand on the flip side of the coin is, because somebody else might use that business, you cannot pass judgment on them and call them a sinner or that they're wrong because they choose then to go to that business. I'm still not going to go to Hardee's. It just violates my conscience to go in there. That's just my prerogative in my opinion. So I don't go. But that's as far as it goes. You know, even later, if my boys, Tyler's off in college and there's a Hardee's across the street and he's hungry, that's his prerogative. He wants to go to Hardee's. I'm not going to stop him. He's a grown man. He's an adult. He's a Christian. That's his choice to make if he chooses that. But what I'm saying is we have to understand we can't judge people by our conscience because it's not scripturally right. Floyd, go ahead and you close us out. Did he say LBJ? Right. You know, and I'm not saying boycotting altogether is bad either, because it, you know, I'm not saying we can't affect change in the country by not using certain goods and services, and if we choose to do that and it makes enough, money talks. And it's amazing how morally right people become when you mess with their pocketbook. That, you know, case in point, we, you know, again, going back to what Chick-fil-A did, because so many people did it, I don't hear anybody bothering Chick-fil-A anymore. They stood up for what was right, they weren't going to back down from their principles, and they left them alone. So, yes, we can be morally good. I'm not telling you not to boycott things. I'm just saying we've got to be careful in relation to making sure we're consistent with our faith. So we got to end that. We got folks coming in. Thank you, guys. Appreciate your comments, class.